Good morning. Welcome once again to our Sunday morning service. I hope you enjoyed worship. Thank you, Emma and Nigel, for that. I put together something for this week. I had a conversation with a dear sister a time ago, and we were talking together, and she was saying that, you know, she feels anxious about the uncertainty of times, and what did I think? And as I would reflect and think about my answer was Thanksgiving. Whenever we become anxious, whenever we become uncertain about the things around us, we need to remember, church, that Jesus Christ is enough. He's not nearly enough, or he may be, or he might be. He is more than enough. And when we start to give thanks, it takes the focus off of us, and certainly puts the focus on him, on Christ in us. I've put together one or two scriptures that we want to read out. We have some work to do this week. It's for us to listen to what God has to say. You may wonder indeed where we're going, but it is about thankfulness. It is about being grateful. It is about lifting up the name of Jesus. And as we lift him up, he will lift us up. So let me share the scriptures with you as we read together, as we sit together, as we listen together. Romans 10:10. When we look through scripture and we think about and consider the Apostle Paul. Paul used to be Saul of Tarsus, and he used to persecute the way, the Christians. And he had a revelation from God, and God spoke directly into his heart and changed him from someone who was going to eternal death to eternal life. And that's the gospel right there, that God can use and he can choose anyone. God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. So today, choose life. Let's start to read some of the things that Paul put down. Let's start to listen to what God is going to say to us today. Amen? Amen. We're going to start in Romans 10:10. Brothers and sisters, that's you and me. My heart's desire, Paul says, and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Salvation is something that was always on Paul's heart, and it should always be on our heart. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they do not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. We cannot find salvation through what we do. We find salvation through what Christ has already done. And Paul is trying to articulate this. He's trying to communicate this to a people that are trying to live by their own standards instead of living by the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. This is a good news story as we start to listen and understand what is being said. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. The word is in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's something there to give thanks for straight away, isn't it? Our salvation. For those that have believed in their heart, confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, salvation is ours. Nothing broken, nothing missing. There's something there to take our focus off what's happening outside and concentrate on what God has done on the inside. Let's start to give thanks. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Remember, just as if I'd not sinned at all. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. This is something to celebrate right there. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and he richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have a lot to be thankful for, church. We have a lot to have gratitude in our heart, as we would say. If you're listening to this service today and you haven't accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord, that's what the gospel is. That's what we lay our lives down for, to bring you the good news. That's what Jesus laid his life down for, to bring to us. In that portion of scripture, it says, how will they know unless someone tell them? How will they tell them unless they're sent? And it's talking about proclaiming the good news. So you may be saying to yourself, but how can I do that? Well, you can pray. You can intercede. You can ask God to bless those around us, because we have grateful, thankful hearts. We have gone from darkness to light. That's something to be thankful for straight away. This family that we can be thankful for. The government we can be thankful for. Our neighbours we can be thankful for. I had the privilege of taking a funeral today, and thankfulness was the theme. Yes, it's sad, but we can also give thanks for a life that's well lived. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We truly can't get our minds around that, because none of us want to leave this earthly life yet, do we? But the truth is, Jesus Christ is coming back for a victorious church. There's something there that we can give thanks for. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And when we think about what's happening around the world, there used to be lots of different things on the news. Now all we hear is about corona, about this virus. And if we listen too much to what is being said, instead of listening to what God has already said to us, what he says through his word to us, instead of being lifted up, we can be dragged down. So my message today for us, my message today for you, is that you would lift up your head, raise up holy hands, as the Bible says, and let's give thanks. Let's give thanks for who we are in Christ Jesus. Let's give thanks for what Jesus has done. Let's give thanks for what he is going to do. Let's believe and let's trust that he loves us, that he's redeemed us, that he's set our feet upon the rock. Let's give thanks for the joy that he gives us. That is not a happiness. It's not an external thing. It's something that goes on the inside. And yes, we are in a war. Yes, we are in a battle. But our fight is not against flesh and blood, the Bible says. It's against powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Amen? You agree with that? Let's give thanks to God that he's given us the weapons in which to fight with. Not to fight each other, but to know that we have an enemy. He prowls around looking for that in which he may devour. But Christ, praise to him, he's won the victory. And because he lives, we can also live through him. Something to give thanks for. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we have, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We can give thanks that when the world situation around us, when the enemy comes to try and distort the things that are going on in our minds, when we start to wonder what is happening, then we can take those thoughts, make them captive, and render them to God. And one of the ways, church, one of the ways that we can be given relief from some of the things that go on up here is to give thanks. As we start to praise God, as we start to pray to our Heavenly Father, suddenly the mountain becomes the molehill. And this is not just a word that I bring to say this keys to so-and-so. This is truth. That when we give thanks, When we take our eyes off of ourselves, when we take our eyes off of the situation around us, and we fix our eyes upon Christ, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith, then the things that seem so big in our lives suddenly become so small, and Christ becomes so big. Remember the story of David and Goliath? The story is this. You have David, the small man, Goliath, the big man. You have the mountain and you have the molehill. David understood how big his God was. So David wasn't the underdog. David actually had the upper hand because his God lives, his God rules, his God reigns. And as David would be in the field looking after the few sheep, he would learn his craft. He would understand what it is to fight the enemy. And he would understand what it is to praise his God. So I want to say to us today and remind us afresh in this lockdown that as we give prayer and praise to our Father, the Holy Spirit comes and does a work on the inside, and that joy will come out. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your situation is, be of good cheer because he lives. We can take every thought, every negative thought, make it captive. And make it obedient to Christ. Amen. This word is all about me and you being thankful people. Me and you knowing that we have the weapons to fight with. God has given us a mind. He's given us a mouth that we can declare his goodness. As we declare the goodness of God, it manifests. When the words leave our mouth, when they praise him, that's when the miracle happens. In Colossians 1 verse 9, for this reason, since the day I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding of the very things that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That's something that you can pray for me about and I can pray for you about. It's not just something that was for the early apostles to pray for the early church. It's about me and you praying for one another, that God will strengthen us and encourage us, that we will be fruit bearers, that we may give thanks to him for every good work, that we may grow in the knowledge of God, that we may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance through this lockdown, this pandemic. It's something that's not happened before, is it? The whole world is standing still. The birds seem to be louder. The sun seems to be brighter. The stars seem to be illuminated in a greater measure. But we need endurance. It goes on to say we need patience. And it says in verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, the one in whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's something to give thanks for right there, isn't it? That Christ has given us the opportunity to be one with God. He's given us that opportunity to come into the kingdom of light. That he's given us the opportunity to give joyful thanks, as it says in verse 12. It says that we have been redeemed. There's something there to give thanks for. So let's be a thankful church. Let's be a church that will see the miracle of what God is doing in our lives today. Not what he might do next week or the month after or what will happen when we come out of lockdown, but right now in your life and in my life, let's give thanks. Give thanks for one another. Give thanks for those around us. Give thanks for our enemies. Give thanks for our friends. Give thanks for the peace that God can give us. Give thanks for the finances that he will lavish upon us. Give thanks for the health that we have. Give thanks for the life that we live and the life that we will live in eternity. In Genesis 9, verse 11. It says this, I establish my covenant with you. This is God speaking to mankind. There's a covenant between us and him. And that means when he says something, when God makes a covenant, he doesn't break it. He doesn't break it. So listen to what is being said here. And we're being reminded everywhere we look of this covenant. And it's great to see this particular covenant being redeemed. I established my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. That's something to give thanks for, isn't it? Never again will the whole earth or all life be destroyed by waters of flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. That's God's covenant with mankind. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between myself and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it, says the Lord. I will see it, says the Lord. And remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. There's something to give thanks for right there. Whenever we drive down the roads, if you go out to do any shopping or you watch the news, you'll see rainbows. Rainbows. And it's a covenant. The rainbow is a covenant between God and us. After every storm, there's a rainbow. Brings hope. At the moment, when we think about the NHS, we can be thankful for those men and women that put their lives on the line for me and you. We can be thankful to God that he will never flood the earth again. We can be thankful every time we see a rainbow. We can be reminded of God's covenant to us as people and to those around us. You see, the Bible says that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, God loves his creation. And he's given us a rainbow to reflect that covenant. So every time you see a rainbow from now on, it's an opportunity to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your covenant. As we look up to him, we will forget the enormity of the overpowering situation that some people find themselves in. And the mountain will become the molehill. And for me, if I want to use that word, key, the key is to give thanks. To lift up hands, to lift up our eyes to heaven, to thank God for who he is, for what he's done, to thank God for my salvation, to thank God that he answers prayer. Let's be encouraged as we read and listen to his word. In 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we can give thanks that we are people of the truth. We don't want to distort God's word. When we see a rainbow, we know exactly what it means, don't we? It has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with pride, has everything to do with covenant. We take God's truth and we speak it plainly. We commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. We can give thanks to God. Not that the God of this age, meaning the devil, has blinded the eyes, but we can give thanks to God that we can pray that the eyes of the blind would be opened. So we have lots to give thanks for. as we are locked down in our homes. Let's pray more. Let's seek more. Let's believe more. Let's believe that when this lockdown is lifted, because we've lifted up our eyes to him, because we've lifted up our hands to him, because we've believed that his word to be true, given thanks and prayer and supplication for one another, that we will see his kingdom come. It's something to be thankful for. Something to be thankful for. God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Jesus said this himself. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. We can give thanks that we are called servants of the Most High God, that we can serve Christ and we can serve one another. We can give thanks for one another. Whatever God puts on your heart, let's be a people that will thank God for what he's given us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God wants us to give thanks because in all things he is more than enough. We don't give thanks for the circumstance. We give thanks in the circumstance. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave me or forsake me. We have a lot to be thankful for. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory displayed in the face of Christ. That's something to give thanks for, isn't it? But you have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God knows our frailties. That's why this picture here of a clay pot, a frail pot, is so important to me and you. We know that it's the power of God that sustains us. Let's read on from that portion of scripture. It talks about having this treasure, the gospel, in these fragile bodies to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Something to give thanks for, isn't it? Perplexed, but not in despair. Something to give thanks for. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Something to be thankful for. Struck down, but not destroyed. Something to be thankful for. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive, we are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. As it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we who believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to him. Something to give thanks for, isn't it? Let's be a church at this time that we won't allow ourselves to be depressed, but we will allow ourselves to be full of praise. I remember listening to Jay John some years ago, and he was in a taxi apparently, and someone said, will you pray for me? And he said, no, you pray for yourself. And Jay John said to this taxi driver, are you okay? And the driver replied, yeah, I'm okay under the circumstances. He said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? He said, you don't go to bed and lay under the mattress, you lay on the mattress. You shouldn't be under the circumstances, you should be on top of the circumstances. We as Christians are on top of the circumstances. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? That's something that we can praise him for. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says this, do not be anxious about anything. It doesn't say be anxious about everything, it says do not be anxious. It's hard, isn't it, sometimes? Anxiety takes over. We are in the world, but not of the world. It's difficult sometimes, isn't it, church? It's so hard sometimes. But the Bible is clear. It says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. See, when God asks the question, he gives us the answer. when there's something in scripture that says do not, he always gives us the answer. What can we do so anxiety don't overtake? What can we do, Lord, so that the depression doesn't depress us? What can we do, Lord, when the weight is heavy? Then the Bible says, lift it off and lay it on Christ. Scripture says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not just some situations, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. See, we need to speak it out. It's not just enough to believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. There are times where we pray and we pray silently, but there are times where we pray and we open our mouths and we speak. It says this, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request. Tell God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says this in verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, that's me and you, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Think about the good and the wholesome. Think about those things and give thanks to God. I guarantee you, this is not a fix it thing. This is truth. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Remember, the more truth you know, the more freedom you'll have. So when you're going through persecution, trial and tribulation, praise God. When you're going through the good, the bad and the ugly, praise God. When you're rich or if you're poor, praise God. If you're healthy or if you're sick, praise God. And that's when the miracle happens. When we lift our eyes to him, we cast our burdens upon him. He takes our anxiety and he gives us peace. When we decide to take the negative thoughts from our minds and give them to him, he gives us back a clean heart. He gives us back a right mind. He helps us to put things in perspective and into focus. That when we take our eyes off of us and we put them upon him, then truly we can see the picture. I remember a thought that came into my mind many years ago that life is like a jigsaw puzzle and God has the box. You see, we don't see it, do we? But God is adding bit by bit until the picture of your life is fully formed. You can't see it because you don't have the box, but God does. He knows. He knows what you need. And he's already sending the answer. Let's praise him this week. Let's lift up holy hands. Let's be a people that will take our eyes off of our circumstances and fix them upon him. And I guarantee you, church, that the mountain will become the molehill, that the David will slay the Goliath. 1 Timothy 2:1 says this, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. For all people. For kings and all those in authority, we have an opportunity to give thanks, regardless to your political persuasion, whether it's good or it's not good. Then God has put in place the government that we have. Whether we choose to believe that or not, there isn't anything that happens without God allowing it. So we can give thanks, not for bad decisions, but thanks for people, and we can pray and ask God to give them righteous minds. We can give thanks for all people, kings and people in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Something right there to give thanks for, isn't it? Finally, as I bring this message to a close, I want to read a story in Luke 9, 16. It's a very familiar story. It's about the feeding of the multitudes, the thousands. It's about the loaves and the fishes. And it's a story that many of us would have been brought up with as children. And yet we can miss the miracle. We can so often miss what God is saying in the things that we become familiar with. This message today is all about, or this morning is all about, how do we cope with the lockdown? How do we get through troubled times? Well, I'm suggesting that the Bible says we give thanks. And as we give thanks, that's when the miracle happens. So I want to encourage you, church, to be a thankful church. To give thanks in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, this is Jesus, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Not just enough, but more than enough. You see, the miracle happened when Jesus took what he had, took the natural that he was given, and he gave thanks. Then the supernatural took over. And I'm not saying it's a fix it for everything, church, but what I am suggesting to you is this. If you take and you lay hold of what God has already given you, and you start to give thanks, you'll see a multiplication. As you start to thank God for the things that you do have, you'll see a multiplication. You see, the Bible talks about it like this. It says, when you give, it will be given back to you righteousness. That's a right standing with God. When we empty ourselves of us and we lay hold of his truth, then God fills us with his right standing, his righteousness. Let's close and pray together, church. Thank you for listening and thank you for being with us. I trust that you will be blessed. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be thankful. We thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed us, that you've set us free, that you've forgiven us of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you have conquered death. We thank you, Father God, that you so loved us that you gave your Son, that we may trust him. We thank you, Jesus, that your words were true, that you send the comforter to us, your people, to comfort us in times of need. So, Father, as we're reminded of your covenant this week, when we see a rainbow, may we be reminded of how thankful we need to be. That we can thank you for the NHS staff. We can thank you for our friends and our neighbours. We can thank you for all those that are standing in the gap to provide services to your people. We can be thankful for one another. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity of being able to listen to your word. Father God, bless us that we may be exactly a blessing. God bless you, Judge.